My name is Veronica Conway, and we are here today to have a conversation in liberation. This is a part of the You Unleashed case study series, and these conversations are about dialing in sort of the approaches, the tools, the strategies, the ways of being that really set us free. And so I am extremely excited today to talk to the beautiful and brilliant Ms. Brooke Crawford. Brooke, I'm going to have you say a little bit about your company and what you do. But I just want to say to you, welcome, and I'm so thrilled that you are here to have this conversation today. So welcome.
Thank you very much. I so appreciate you and the role that you have played in my life. I am a mindset and personal development coach. I help women to unlock their mind so that they can go and be the very best version of themselves. I believe that everything happens for a reason, and I needed to unlock my mind so that I could reach its full potential and really help women in the way that I've always dreamed. My mission is really to help women come out of the same kind of traumatic experiences that I have. And I believe that I've accomplished that goal, that I came to you because I was looking to just take it to the next level.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, I know that you do really profound work with women, right? And that you get them quantum leaps and quantum change in how they move in the world and how they deal with money, and they have some real breakthroughs. But I want to talk a little bit with you about what brought you to do your work. Like, tell us a little bit about your background and the parts of it that really brought you forward to do the work that you do. Because I love understanding mission, right? Like, what drives you to want to be of service in the way that you do. So can you speak a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, it started when I was sitting in therapy. I had just gone through some pretty traumatic experiences on top of my traumatic childhood. I had to fight to get my children back from CPS because their father made some very terrible decisions, and we were all affected by that. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting in therapy, and I was frustrated because I kept coming back like they tell you to do, and nothing was going anywhere. And I didn't have the time or the energy to put towards people who couldn't help me, didn't understand me. And at the time, I had two little people depending on me. And I decided that nobody can tell me about me more than I can. Yeah. Nobody can help me more than I can, because I'm just as smart as anybody else. I've taught myself how to do things that, you know, most people, like, they need to go to training for. Taught myself how to play the piano. I've taught myself how to, you know, code for computers. So it's like, if I can do those things, then I certainly can figure out what all is going on with me and my mind. And I remember saying, you know, I don't care how long it takes. I'm going to do the work and figure it out. And I didn't have any books or resources. I didn't, you know, I didn't come from a background where even therapy was a normal thing. So I had to go based on what I saw in my reality. And I started to notice how there were different patterns in my life with men, and then eventually with money. And I said, you know, I don't know how to fix this, but I know how to remove obstacles. I know how to remove people. And I just started gutting out my life. I started removing men, women, like just everybody, family members. I started really spending my time in books, you know, trying to find answers. I listened to YouTube videos, you know, at a certain point when that became available. I would go and sit by myself and think. And eventually, once I figured out certain patterns, it was like, oh, I can think my way out of this. And
You do a lot of pattern recognition, don't you? Like you have a real gift for realizing and recognizing certain patterns.
Yeah. And I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know how powerful it was the first time it happened. But I remember feeling very liberated. And that was like the drug that I needed, because it was like, for the first time, my crap is not weighing me down and I feel invincible. And it was like, oh, this is whatever this is. I have figured out something here. And I just kept going for the patterns. And eventually it was like, wow, I see my life changing.
So it speaks to what, you know, you kind of deconstructed your life, right? The old way of being. You deconstructed some things and then you reconstructed a life, right?
Yeah.
A business and a husband and all kinds of things. Talk a little bit about what that took, because I think that people would really be interested in knowing, you know, before you even met me, like what that journey was like for you to sort of deconstruct and reconstruct in the way that
it
you
was. It was confusing. It was lonely. A lot of people talk about like the great stuff, but it wasn't great to begin with.
Right. Right. People think that stuff is cute and sexy. It's not. It's not fun, right? Right.
Not at all. Right. Not at all. You know, the worst part of it was choosing better for my children. That was the very worst part of it, because I come from, 3 generations of women who had kids at 19 outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, well, that's definitely a pattern. That's not coincidence. And I started to look at how their lives had ended up. And, you know, my grandma did pretty well for herself. And my mom, you know, she did okay. But I know mm-hmm. how they felt. And it was like, I know
Struggle.
How I feel as a kid,
Struggle.
Right? The tension. And that's really what, like, tugged at my heartstrings. And it was like, you know what, this is really going to suck, but I can't put them through that. I can't try and figure this out and put them through me figuring it out at the same time. So the first very large choice was to place them with a family that actually knew my grandma when she was alive. And they, I mean, I couldn't have asked for better people than them. Mm-hmm. And they are doing their own healing with that family. And, you know, it was like ripping a cord out the wall. Like, this can't go on like this. The toxicness of all of this, it can't go on. And I remember signing the paperwork and it was just like, don't talk to me about this. I just need to speed through. And they thought I was crazy. And I'm like, I am sacrificing so much to make this decision. But I know that if I make the same choice that's been made before me, we'll all end up in the same place. And that's not fair to them, most importantly.
Yeah. That is such a courageous thing. I think especially in the Black culture, especially, we get programmed that we are supposed to suffer and struggle and that our kids are supposed to suffer and struggle. So to take that stand is such a profound revolutionary act, you know, because we think we have only limited to one set of choices. And what I'm hearing you mm-hmm. say is that despite what anyone said, you answered the truth and it worked. Your truth. It actually worked out for you and for them.
Yeah. There are hard days. There are. But to know that they're loved and safe and they're doing better than I could have. They're taking trips I've never even taken. And I've been places. Not
right.
that, you know, the
right.
trips are it, but it's like they get to experience life and the world and they're not struggling like they would have been with me until I figured it out. So that was choice number one. Choice number two was to go back to college because I never finished. And that choice is when it got really, really difficult, because it was like I felt guilty because of my past, but I also felt free because I could figure it out, but also have fun. And I might have had a little bit too much fun. I started dating people that just, I had no business dating. And then one pivotal moment, I was talking to one of my exes and he goes, "You don't deserve love," in one of our arguments as I'm trying to break it off with him. And I said, "What? Excuse me?" And I went to say something crazy back, and then I thought about it. Wait a minute. You're just telling me what I think anyway. That's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I thanked him and I walked away, and I remember taking a grandstand and saying, "You know what? I may not know what it looks like or what it feels like, but I know that this isn't it." And I binged love songs. I cried to a lot of them. I laughed to a lot of them. I stopped hanging out with friends, which became very lonely because it was like nobody, all these people were a manifestation of like the old me. And so now I don't have any friends because they don't get it. I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to smoke weed. I don't want to do any of that stuff. And I, you know, I read Think and Grow Rich probably 15 billion times. I started doing EFT tapping, and then I stumbled upon Abraham Hicks. And, you know, there was one person that came into my life and made me realize like love does exist, and they call it a twin flame or whatever, but it was like my soul just knew like, okay, now we've really tapped into something.
Yeah.
And about a couple of years later, I answered a call for an ad for a publicist, and I ended up meeting my husband. I didn't know that he was my husband, but I ended up meeting him. And that was, I'd say, another large choice. People thought I was crazy for moving to Texas for the job. People thought I was crazy for being with a man that's 23 years older than me. And it's like, well, I'm the best I've ever been. I am supported and loved, real love, not that fake stuff.
Right.
And I'd say
the
final decision was to cut off people that are supposed to be my family. That has been, as of recent, the hardest decision. But it was like, you guys are an infection and you don't realize it, but you're trying to infect me, and I can't do it. And my mom and I's relationship has gotten better, but I've had to sacrifice siblings and, you know, their dad.
Yeah.
As a result.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of the way it is right now. We kind of don't have the luxury in a certain way of keeping people around us that we're not in resonance with, that don't support us. Like, it really is time to be sort of lean and mean about those that have the capacity to support, right? And we can love at a distance, right? Because we have to have the capacity to, you know, people, not everybody has the capacity to love us in a way that we would recognize, right? And so when we find people that do, like your husband, right, that can love you in a way that you deeply recognize, that we have to sort of celebrate that and honor that sort of at all costs, you know, because it's important. So you've taken some really bold, radical and revolutionary stands, right, in your life. And then you began to help women, right, in your business. And so your business and your helping of them is sort of what brought you to me. So talk a little bit about where you were in that business and what had you decide to, you know, because I think we met on Clubhouse, right? We all know, just in there, and, you know, for those of you that are listening, Clubhouse is this audio app, and you get to have a lot of interesting and provocative and sometimes crazy conversations in that space. But we met on Clubhouse, and you were in your business, and then you reached out to me. Do you want to talk a little bit about what had you decide to do that?
Sure. The first interaction, I'm not exactly sure what the conversation entailed, but I remember thinking, like, she's so cool. And it was like, I don't know, it was just like this really like buzzy feeling, like, wow, she's such a vibe. And it was so important to me because I was in Detroit at the time, and Detroit is like during the winter is terrible, and my home in Texas, like the pipe burst, so things were a mess. So to talk with you and just kind of get like a little vibe, it's like, okay. And then the next time, there was a lapse in time, the first time that we talked and the second time that we talked. And so the next occurrence, I was in Target, and this happens to me when I hear things that it's like my soul just knows. And I'm sitting there listening, and you were doing some sort of, like, I guess, training or something on.
It was a goal setting. I think it was a goal setting workshop or something.
Yeah. And when you asked, it was something to the effect of either you hit the goal or you didn't. And right. I didn't have a pen. I'm obviously walking through Target, but I really started to think, and I was like, I'm not hitting certain goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really irritated about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, now I know, was an activation, but it was like, ding, ding, ding. The alarm went off, like, hello, there's something that is not quite right. And I remember thinking, like, I want to be free of whatever this is, because I've not been hitting my goals, certain goals, for a long time. There's many different areas where it's like, okay, click into place, but these specific ones in my business, around money, around like myself and how I feel, I'm just not right where I want to be.
Right.
And I just remember thinking, you know what? Like, I've always bet on myself. Always. It's never been about who it is I choose to work with or, you know,
mm-hmm.
all these other factors. It's like,
do I
trust myself? Yeah. Do I trust myself and my ability to choose? That has been one of the most pivotal aspects of my entire journey is, can I choose properly to have people support me? And I just knew. I couldn't explain that I knew, but I just knew that I needed to work with you. I needed to talk to you.
And what would you say, how would you describe your journey? So, because when you came to me, you were in real frustration about, you know, things that were happening and not happening, and sort of this sense of feeling like you knew you were capable of more. You knew that you have the goods, right? You have the brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
You have the discernment. You have this sort of anointing. You have superpowers. You know, you have the ability to get up and pivot very powerfully, right? We've talked about that, right? You've done courageous acts that went against the grain, but that were actually the truth, right? And so
mm-hmm.
you have that gift, but there was something that was sort of bugging you or nagging you, so what was that, if you were going to put that into words? That thing that you were like, I need help with this thing. What was that?
The emergency brake.
Yeah.
I felt like I had the emergency brake on and I was trying to rev my engine and it was going absolutely nowhere. And it's like, what is it that I am missing? And I had studied, you know, my own human design, so I knew frustration wasn't in alignment with me. And I knew, like, okay, I could get it at some point, but I don't want to keep searching if someone else is already, you know, 15 steps down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And when you had said something about I'm feeding the wrong need, that was another activation when we had talked during, you know, our first conversation to see if we could work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember feeling like I was running for a train and there's a split second where you either decide that you're going to book it to catch the train or you're just going to slow it down and allow it to pass you. And I chose to book it because it was like, this is what I've been waiting for. And it felt like I was feeling around, but didn't know what I was looking for. I mean, obviously I know now because we've done the work, but before it felt like I was in my home and couldn't find a light switch, which makes absolutely no sense because it's my home.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to say, and it's also, and you have great gifts and talent, right? You're so lit, right, inside. But it's so interesting because I have so many women like you, right, that come to me and they are of such great talent and genius and ability and gifting, and there's like this thing, right? There's this thing that they are missing and that they can't seem to find the answer to. And you have that. You have great gift and talent and all of the gifts, right? But yet there's this thing. And I think talented, anointed women sort of go through that, right? Like, what is it? So, yeah, so we sort of tapped into that pretty quickly, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. After we had our first conversation, I remember, like, just having this entire meltdown, and the rest of the day was just very on point for me. It was frustrating to witness, but it was very on point. Just so many synchronicities and memories of, you know, past experiences. And I remember thinking, like, no, okay, this is, I just kind of knew, like, this is going to change my life.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to change my life. And I was tired of trying to run for the train and, like, missing it every time. Like, it was just like, what am I missing and why? Why?
Right.
Because I am smart, and I know. There's a lot of people who don't know, but I know. I'm fully aware.
Right.
And I know that whatever this is not right. And after the first session, it was like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is it. This is exactly what's going on. And
so what did you discover that was going on, right, in terms of what you needed to arrive at or have clarity around? What was it, and what how did it shift for you? And you know, in ways subtle and, you know, big and small. What did shift, and how did it shift for you?
You know, my brain had been hiding certain stories, and I couldn't see or hear or witness them because of my relationship with pain and how my entire life had been about pain. And for me, now on the other side of the fence, looking back at where I was, it was like I wasn't going to find it, because I had a cozy relationship with pain, and it was so deep in the crevices of my mind, where it was like I had bought into these belief systems that were projected on me, that I, you know, couldn't create my reality, even though I knew I could consciously. It's like, well, that doesn't. But it had nothing to do with knowing myself, and everything to do with childhood situations that made me feel like I couldn't control anything around me.
Right.
And for me, being out of control, especially as a Scorpio, a Scorpio woman, too much. And I just remember looking at certain situations, like, you know, between myself or my husband, where it was like, I'm filling out documentation for businesses, or, you know, we're trying to get to the next level. And it's like, when I have my hands in it, it doesn't work. When he has his hands in it, it works. And oddly enough, we're the same human design. So it was like, what is going on?
Right, and like a strange glitch, like a strange kind of a glitch, right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I felt like I was in this weird movie that I couldn't get out of. And anytime he would say to me, like, you could just do something different, my answer was always, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. And when we did that first session, and I could feel my body, like, cringe up, and I can feel it, like, kind of, it wasn't a sharp pain, but it kind of felt like my brain was being kneaded a little bit. It was like, oh, okay. So certain parts of my brain had locked up, and I wasn't going to get farther than where I was, because it was like, no, this is our happy place. This is where we've been. This is what you know. Especially after having dealt with the 18 years of the abuse, and then compounded by my own choices, it was like, we've got a lot of road to cover.
Yeah.
And after that session, I felt free. And that's mm-hmm. kind of how this whole entire time with you has felt, more free and more free and more free and more free. And mm-hmm. if I could summarize that crossover, it feels like a release. It feels like my body is relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like that very first session where my body was tensing up as you were making me aware that not having or not achieving is actually the pain versus what I had experienced. And I could feel it viscerally. And then after, when we, you know, did the other part of it, it felt releasing and freeing. That's how this entire time has felt. And it's just been more and more.
Right. And it has been a real unwinding for you, right? And mm-hmm. and it in many respects, it's so, you know, sort of an undoing, right? Sometimes mm-hmm. we think we have to be a doing, and sometimes we realize we need to be in an undoing. And mm-hmm. we did a couple of things, right? Because we do a lot of different things in the work, right? We do private sessions, we do these things called blitzes, which everybody loves blitzes because you show up and you get things done. I think last time you unblitzed, which was so fantastic. But we also did some stuff in the Akashic, right? So for those of you that are listening, the Akashic, I do Akashic analysis. And so there are some things that you can only see through looking. The Akashic is the library, the astral library of everything that's ever happened in the history of souls. Like, it's a small thing, right? But we do some things in the Akashic. We do some things in the Akashic because it's the way that we can find some deeper truths that may be impacting someone with their process and their journey. And so we did a couple of analysis, right? We did one for you privately, mm-hmm. and then we did one for your business to energetically set up the business. Mm-hmm. And so do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I think that the business one specifically kind of rocked your world in a sense, right? Because, you know, I'm always like, okay, buckle up, because when we set things up in the Akashic, right, it may not look like you think it's going to look, but it will be the truth,
mm-hmm.
right? And so so can we talk a little bit about the impact of the business Akashic and how that impacted you specifically?
I will say that the personal one allowed me to see myself even more so, especially as it pertains to my expertise and why I'm so good at it. My human design is partly about being an investigator. So to now know why, it was I'm ready to take off running. And then to have done the business Akashic, this is going to be so much fun. Because I saw it being a big thing. You know, we've talked about this, physical locations, and you know, I saw me helping hundreds of women, but it's kind of taken on a much bigger identity than I imagined. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun. Before, it was, you know, purpose, maybe even humanitarian, very much structured, but this kind of bust it wide open, and it was like, first of all, this is a luxury brand, mm-hmm. and second of all, like, where's the fun? Where's the flavor? And
yeah,
to have found all of that, and then, you know, to have to rise to that occasion was interesting as well, because I was at a certain price point when we first started, now it's like, you know, we're 10 times that.
You used to say to me in the beginning, are you asking me to raise my prices again? And I'm like, well, I mean, not really, not really. I mean, maybe.
Right.
But yeah, when you got the real skinny on sort of what your value is and what you can actually charge and bring. Yeah. Say a bit more about that, about what you know now that perhaps you didn't know.
You know, when you told me that people don't know and they're going to pay you to know, I really sat on that for some weeks. And I started mm-hmm. to pay attention to how much I know. and how many times people will tell me, you just know so much. How do you know so much? And not just from a spiritual realm or a mindset mm-hmm. realm, just regular mm-hmm. information. It's like, oh, go here, do this, do that. And it's across the board from, like, I know welfare stuff all the way up to, you know, building business and getting funding stuff. So it's not just, you know, high-end stuff that I know. I've ranged.
Right.
And that's when it clicked. That is when it clicked. People are going to want to talk to me because I'm like Google. I am very much like
yes.
Google.
Yes, 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 yes. No, I love that. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
It clicked. And then the best part about it is that it's not even stuff that I've read. It's stuff that I've never even interacted with, but I
right.
can pull it from the ethers and just have an answer. And it
yeah.
works for people. And that's like, to know that about myself and to see that, because I knew it before, like, yeah, I'm smart. Yeah, I know things. But to see it like this and to know how much people would pay to be able to have access to
right.
information, to the spirituality, to the transformation. I was like, oh, okay. And then I got a
yes.
text message. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, it's one thing to be smart, right? But it's another thing to have to have your wisdom online and to
yes.
understand the totality and the scale and the possibility of that. That's a whole other thing.
Yes, yes.
Right, right.
Yes.
You were saying you got a text?
Yeah, I got a text message from a former client, and she was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're teaching on, but I see it, and I want information and I want to know whatever it is that you're doing over there. And I don't care, like, I'll pay for it. I don't care how much it costs. And
right.
it's like, oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when it was like, huh, this is going to happen more often. This is going to happen more often. It used to happen before I was in business. I was in college, and I would go to events and people would ask, like, who are you? You seem like you're somebody. And I used to get annoyed, like, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Right.
But
right.
now it's like, oh, now I know why people want to just talk to me and ask me things.
Yeah.
And now I know why that is so valuable.
And right. And what the value is that to them, right? Like
mm-hmm.
To get to witness and to bear witness to what you bring to them and what comes through you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also what you light up in them, right? What changes
mm-hmm.
for them
mm-hmm.
is quite profound.
Yes.
And then you've been playing around with some really potent branding and, you know, some branding and some things that you're going to do with women going forward. And you don't have to reveal all of what they are now. But I think where you're headed in terms of your positioning and the new branding that really is so comprehensively you, holistically you,
mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be very, very exciting.
That's the most exciting part of it all, because people, they're going to see it, and it's going to seem like childhood nostalgia, and it's going to seem like I'm somewhat of an airhead. I'm just having fun living life, and you know, I'm not serious. And you know, I guess for the purpose of conversation, very much like how IG models seem, people think that IG models are like airheads and they're just
mm-hmm.
pretty and they're just
right.
going about life making money. Lo and behold,
right.
they're actually smart and they're using
right.
business skills. But this is going to be like, let me teach you how to unlock your mind so that you can do all this stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about what life looks like today, right? And where you are today. Like, what does life look like today? And then we can talk a little bit about what you think the future might bring.
Life looks like rest. And for me, this is the best. This is the best. I've taken a long road to get here, and I realized that all of this, what I've been searching for me outside of the business, has just been to feel good. And part of feeling good is rest. And I started back reading sheet music, and I chose the piano that I'm going to buy for the new place. I've been binge watching shows and eating whatever I want. You know, I went to the new place and I spent an hour. They do self-guided tours, so I spent an hour just listening to my favorite playlist and dancing as if it was already mine. And I just want to have fun, and I want to rest and be at peace. It looks
and
like
you have that. You haven't given yourself that your whole life, right?
Like, no,
you haven't given yourself that gift your entire like adult life, right? Yeah.
No, I wasn't given that as a child. My childhood was very much, you know, you got to work hard because you're a Black woman. You got to struggle. You got to get up at the crack of dawn to wash the entire house. You got to do this, and you can't rest on a Saturday. So now, for me to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning binge watching, you know, The Ultimatum or Love is Blind, it's like, what are you doing? But I don't care. I'm enjoying it. I'm reclaiming the term lazy. And the lazier I become, the easier things just find their way to me. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part. No effort. There is no efforting anymore. It's all going to be aligned action and choosing. And it looks like more healing of my nervous system, you know, which is, I feel we jump-started that during our time together. And I didn't realize how important it was. I knew that it was, you know, something that I needed to work on and had been. But as we got deeper in the work that you and I were doing, it was like, okay, I see why it's hard for me to feel good, because my nervous system has been overly stimulated by pain. I see why I need to rest. I see why I need to have fun. I see why I need to cry. I see why I need to have like a whole bottle of champagne, just because I don't need to have reasons anymore.
And that's not why you thought you came to me, right? That is not why you
no.
thought you came to me, right? And
no.
so talk a little bit about that, right? So you came to me because you wanted to be like, go, 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 go. And you got some pretty profound answers, but they may not have been the ones that you thought. So talk a little bit about that.
You know, it's interesting because now I realize I have been going for the last decade or more. So had I not been going, then yeah, sure, it would have maybe turned out the way that I thought it was. But I got a lot more than I expected. I thought, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, calculating. I feel like I can hit six figures, no problem. And I'm like doing all the work and I'm focusing and I'm showing up. And it's like, huh, okay. And I wasn't like upset or angry, but it was like, well, maybe I'm not doing it right. Or maybe there's just more work to be done. Or so I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep showing up and, you know, keep at it. I didn't have a defeatist attitude at all. It was like, well, if other people are doing it, you know, that she's working with or that I see around me, I can do it too. And I kept going, and then I kept going, and finally it clicked. Wait a minute. You don't know what it's like to feel good. And that's really what, you know, acquiring that amount of money would be. And I will say that I've been able to manifest money through other people with ease, through my husband, through my friends, with ease, whether it be I'm actually touching the money or they're touching it for themselves. I will tell people to do stuff. You know, in the beginning stages of my relationship with my husband, we were, you know, generating so much money. And so I'm like, well, okay, there's something going on here with me. And I realized that what I got is the understanding that I need to learn how to feel good. And this is what this journey has been about, is seeking feeling good, because it wasn't about the material. And I mean, I've studied money, you know this. I know that money is an energy. And so it was like, well, okay, if money is an energy, then what's the energy that I'm seeking? And it wasn't peace and it wasn't happiness. It's you know, all the words that people try and attach it to.
And play,
All those, it had nothing to do with that. So I'm sitting there trying to use other people's words to define it. And it was like, well, what is the overarching theme of my life? It's to feel good. I've never felt good. Not like this. So that is the biggest aspect of this all. And for me, like, just to feel good, if people could watch the movie of my life and where I came from and how broken and sad and rejected and hurt and abandoned I felt, to just feel good without having anyone change around me. Those people have not changed. They've not changed. But I still feel good. It was like that. There's no amount of money on earth that can, that can compare to 30 years of me feeling a certain way. Because even if I had a certain level of success in my business, which I have, it still didn't feel like anything. Even like, I love my husband, but even being with him, you know, there's this like idea that like, when I get married, I'll just be like so happy and things will be great. He's amazing. Right. I love my relationship, but it didn't give the feeling that I was looking for. And I realized like, this is what I was meant to do. It was never about earning six figures. It wasn't even about earning anything. Because before I can earn anything, I got to know what it feels like to feel good. Otherwise, I'm always going to reject money, because money feels good.
Right. To build on that. Because you know, you can build a business a few ways. Like, you can build it in like that braced, launched mode, right, where it's like it's painful and you're fighting and it's overwhelmed, or you can do it from a place of sort of equilibrium, right, and sort of grace and space, right, and so sometimes we have to arrive at space so that we can build. You can't build a building on a building, right, but you can build a building on a foundation. And my sense is of what you're describing is you feel like you have arrived at a foundation that is a vibrational match to joy and play and freedom, right? That's really where you're residing right now, without apology, by the way, without apology.
Yeah, I really am. And I think that this next phase to... My journey is very unique from other business owners, and I'm really starting to become aware of that, because people have gone through things, and I won't take that from them. But when I really start to break down where I come from and where I'm getting ready to go, people like me don't make it out. They don't, they don't heal at this level. They don't make the choices that I've made. They don't do anything other than what's already been done. You know, the stereotypes, you come from a traumatic background, you choose the abusive man, you have kids, you live in poverty, all that stuff. And so I'm really starting to look at it, and it's like, I have experienced like pretty much everything that you could probably name. You know, you take 15 people and you talk to them about their trauma, and I've probably experienced it all in one person. And so I really thought about why, because I always like to know the why. And it's like, if I'm going to take people and guide them to this next level, I don't want to teach business, or I don't want to embody business that has trauma laced within it.
Right.
And to sit there and push and pull and manipulate yourself and be tired, that's just a compounding of what I've already been through. I've done that. And so now I feel like this is a different type of embodiment. And when you see coaches out there it's very much the capitalistic cycle. And mm-hmm. it's very much the push, the pull, manipulation, and people are crying. And it's
right.
a whole lot going on out there.
Yeah.
I don't want
yeah.
any parts of that. And I've done
yeah.
that to some degree. I've already done that
yeah.
too, to some degree.
Yeah.
And so now with all the space, and it was uncomfortable at the beginning. It was very uncomfortable to have space because it was like, well, now what do I do with myself? You know, I don't feel like I need to be on all the time. And it's like, well, I get to embody what it looks like to be in full alignment and
mm-hmm.
no efforting. Like I'm just
mm-hmm.
at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
I have an unlimited black card and I'm just choosing
right.
what I want.
Right, right.
Because that
right.
I feel
totally
is true.
Different place to come from. Right.
Yeah.
Totally different place to come from. Totally different level of embodiment. And it's funny because I think that a lot of times people are actually going out and hustling the money to arrive at that. If I get the money, then I'll have peace.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what's really true is if you get the peace, then you get to have the money.
Yeah.
But it's on your terms, which
yeah.
is different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel is next for you from this place? Like from this new foundation, this new sort of way of being in the world, what do you think is available or possible or next for you?
It sounds interesting coming out of my mouth, but everything. I am at a point where I'm gearing up to do my own quantum leap. And so I have allowed for the business to go and marinate elsewhere while I get myself together. By together, I mean resting. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to develop some other businesses that I have been really longing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to buy a couple of businesses, which I feel is absolutely available. And I'm going to invest in real estate like I've wanted to do, which I feel is
mm-hmm.
absolutely available now. Because my
mm-hmm.
mind is putting together pieces and I'm getting resources. And, you know, interestingly enough, my credit has even been fixed during this time period, which it was in a lock. State.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that has cleared up too. And I'm just like, this is great. So, I'm going to build me up, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to build up a life and, you know, do things that I really enjoy, like traveling. Again, I was on a little hiatus. I'm going to buy the piano. I'm going to get in shape again, yoga, taking that up, just really create that foundation from a place of peace, not from a
yeah.
needing or
yeah.
Wanting.
Yeah.
And it's like my entire life, you know, I've wanted to build it a certain way. And so now
mm-hmm.
I'm consciously choosing the pieces and where I want them to go. And, you know, I want to embody who I envision
mm-hmm.
in my head, how
mm-hmm.
I feel about myself. And it's not just an energy. I want the clothes that represent me.
Mm-hmm.
I want the place that represents me. I want the businesses that represent me. Cause I'm not just a coach. Like I have
right.
a love of hair
right.
and I want
right.
a salon for black women. You know, I have a love of real estate. I loved playing Monopoly. It's like a game to me. So I want that because that's an interest of mine, not because of anything but me. And all of these things, it's just I'm going to embody a further manifestation of myself. All of these things around me are just me manifested. And I really feel once that's on its way, I'm going to circle back around and the energy between myself and the business will be completely mm-hmm. different. And I'll have resources that I have always wanted to put into my business and
mm-hmm.
And really make it into what I envision with events and experiences and, you know,
I love it.
Stuff.
Yeah. I love it. So if someone were, if someone were considering, right, working with me, what would you tell them? If they were sort of on the fence and thinking like, well, who's this chick and why should I get on the phone with her? What would you tell them?
Do it. Because what's the cost of staying where you are? I will never forget that when you said that. What is the cost of staying the same or something to that effect? And I said, well, you know, I'm not willing to find out. So we only have one life to live. And there was a period there where I felt uneasy about my choice because I've never chosen me to that magnitude ever. I've made choices that, you know, changed the trajectory of my life, but I've never made a financial choice like that.
Right.
And I've never made it and been right. That was the other part about it, because I've made smaller ones and been wrong, but I've never made that big of a choice and been right. And so I was sitting there like, did I make the right one? And I had to go back over the information like, well, I've gotten this transformation. I've gotten that transformation. And it was all about me. Like, do I trust myself? Do I feel like I can take what I'm being given and run with it? And I say yes. I say yes. And fear is a lie. Fear is an absolute lie. Because there's this little feeling that you get when talking to you. I don't really know how to describe it, but it's like I want to come out and play, but it's kind of scary out there. And it's like, well, you know, you want to. I was like, no, but it's scary. You just got to go. You just got to go. And you, like I said earlier, there's that split second where you think, should I push it and run for the train? And you think, well, I'm going to be tired. I might be sweaty. Yeah. And it's like, but then what is the cost of me missing that train? I'm going to be late to wherever I need to go. Another one might not come.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I might miss out on money. There's all these different variables. You have no idea what would happen if you miss the train. But if you get on the train and you make the choice, you are choosing the trajectory of your life. And that, I will say, I've made a lot of choices. I have made a lot of choices, and they have been right for the most part. The big ones. And this is the biggest one that I have been right about. And when you know, and do not talk yourself out of knowing, because this has been exactly what I've been looking for over a decade.
I'm so honored.
For over a decade, I have been looking for someone who could help me like this, and I have come a long way by myself, but I have never felt like anyone could really, like, click it into place. And when you've been looking for something for a long time, you know, because otherwise, why are you on the call? Why are you putting in your name for the inquiry, you know, to set up the meeting? Why?
Yeah.
Why would you do all of that, come that far, and not just go? That's what I would say.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so honored. I'm honored that that's your experience, and I am ecstatic at the journey that you're on, right? The one that's you, right? That's you at your essence, at your core, beyond the business, right? That you are falling in love with you. You know, I often say that people come to me to get outcomes, right? And they do, they get outcomes in my containers, but they also fall in love with themselves. I don't really feel it that way, but it actually is what happens along the way. It is. Like, along the way, people fall in love with themselves and what they're actually, who they actually are. And so I love that. I love that for you. And so, and all the grace and peace that goes with that. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Where can they find you, Mama? Give us your deets so that people can find you if they want to look you up.
On Instagram is the best way. It's Brooke Crawford. I am taking a hiatus. Don't know when I'll be back, but that is the best place. I am releasing podcast episodes every Thursday, so, you know.
Love it. Yeah.
That's the place where I'm sharing my thoughts as I get to this next space in life, and maybe occasionally on Clubhouse if I feel like I, you know, want to entertain other people. That's another space, same name, but otherwise,
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Brooke. Thank you so much for sharing time and space with us today and wisdom, most importantly, and your journey. So I thank you for all of it and for everything. So thank you, thank you. Anyone, if you if this resonates with you and you want to experience some liberation in its truest sense, in its purest form, then, I don't know, there's going to be somewhere to contact me, somewhere on the page that you're on. So dial in, check that out, and let's get on the phone and see if we can have a conversation in your liberation. So this is Veronica Conway with QUnleashed.com and Conversations in Liberation, signing off for now.